and Paul Sterling here, and I love to ask you a couple questions. You know, one is, are you ready to bring back the passion, the intimacy, the love and respect, and the adoration to all your relationships? Just raise your hand, you know, take action and raise your hand if you're ready to bring that back.
And when she says raise your hand, you can hit *6. That's the hand raising that's available here.
Well, if we want to see it, or they can raise their hand in their home, just taking that action for themselves. But we'd love to see you do it, so press *6. You know, relationships can be so amazing, uplifting, and sweet, and heart-opening. And when they're good, they make everything seem okay. Work goes better. Home life goes better. And when they're not, they bring you to your knees. They make even a sunny day seem gloomy, and they can really screw with your self-esteem and your self-worth. You can also get very distracted in all the other things you're doing in life when your relationship isn't well. So I want to know, do you ever wonder what happened? How did your relationship, you know, your intimate relationship or a friendship or a relationship with your child, how did it go from being so good to being so bad? And would you love to be adored rather than ignored?
Outstanding. And part of what happens and what we're going to talk about today is that relationships end up in a downward spiral where everything you try tends to make things worse, where communication, where neither of you feel heard, understood, or valued, and you end up going, what happened? How come? You know, and the most important part of this call, though, is how do you stop that downward spiral? How do you turn things around? And actually, our intention is how do you make things better than they ever were? Because there's two positions in a relationship. You can either be a victim of your relationship, and I've been there, or you can be a leader in a relationship and transforming the quality of your life by transforming the quality of your relationship. So we're going to dive into that today, and we'll have chances for you to ask questions and go through everything that you want to know. All right, Heidi, back to you.
Back to me. My intention, too, is to just help you cut through some of the confusion and frustration and the disappointment around relationships, around communication. And I, again, want to welcome you and honor you for investing this time in yourself and for taking the first step on a path that is going to take you from feeling ignored to being adored. And in a little while, we'll tell you more about ourselves and why we're so passionate to be teaching you about deeper, easier intimacy. But before we do that, Paul's going to share a few things with you. And at this point, you might want to grab a paper and pen, or definitely grab a paper and pen.
Yeah. And I don't know how many people on the call have ever heard of a guy named Bob Proctor. He was on The Secret. And I was talking to Bob. He's a mentor of mine and a friend. I've been up at his house in Canada. And we were sitting talking, and he said, you know, there's three things you really need to know if you want to change anything. So if you picture that you want to go from one place to another, like you want to go from, I live in Colorado, and I'm about to go out and teach with Heidi in California. So what do you need to know? I need to know where I want to go. So as we're going through this call today, what I want you to start with is, where do you want your relationship to go? Where do you want to be 6 months from now, or even 2 months from now? What level of intimacy and connection? How do you want to be able to deal with conflicts and upsets and misunderstandings? And all relationships have them. It's just, how do you handle them? So number one, where do you want to go? Number two, where are you now? And for some people, everything they say can and will be held against them. It's like an ongoing argument. And so they end up withholding and withdrawing and ignoring each other in a really painful relationship. So number one is, where do you want to go? Number two is, where are you now? And number three is, during this call, what you want to do is look at what are some of the steps that you can take. And some of what we're going to be talking about is a big picture, like where do you go into the future with your relationship and what tools can you have there. And some of the things you can use tonight, like this afternoon, when you get off the call, we're going to give you some things you can use right away. So back to you, Heidi.
I wondered, with the analogy you were talking about driving and knowing where you're going to go, and if you really spoke to that analogy of where you began, like you can't get there if you don't know where you are now.
Yeah, and actually I had a client call up the other day, and he was clear where he wanted to go, and he said, I feel really embarrassed and a little ashamed of where I am now and what's happening in our relationship. And I said, well, that the important part is to know where you are, to not worry about it, to not be embarrassed about it, to not be ashamed of it, but to be clear, here's where I am right now, and here's where I want to go. Because if I start giving somebody directions to go from, like, Denver, Colorado, to San Francisco, and they're not in Denver, the directions aren't any good. If they're really in Maine, well, my directions are useless.
Yeah.
So it's really important for you to get clear where you are, what triggers you. And part of what we're going to do is we're going to get into the habits, patterns, and beliefs that either are destroying your relationship or are going to support your relationship. Because there's some, if somebody is really physically fit and healthy, you can imagine, especially if they're over like 30 years old, because some people are just healthy naturally when they're young. But as we mature a little bit, how healthy we are depends on how much exercise we do and how much what we eat and how we treat our bodies. It's our habits, patterns, and beliefs that keep us healthy. It's our habits, patterns, and beliefs that keep our relationship healthy. So that's back to you.
All right, well, I think, you know, speaking of habits, patterns, and beliefs, I would love to share with you a little bit about my story and why I'm so passionate about this work. Can you tell me again how we can see if they raise their hand?
Well, they can hit. I don't have a good system for that. I think that one of the things we can do is they can just, you're just going to have to know that they're raising their hand.
All right, that's all right. Sometimes, you know, we switch using technology, and so this is a new technology for me today, so I just want to apologize about that bleep. But I love to see who's on the call, and I can see your numbers, and it helps me connect to you. I love to be really connected. You know, connection matters more than anything. And so I just need to really feel that. So I'm looking at you on the screen. I'm right here with you. And I would love to tell you about my story. So just in the company of your own space that you're in, raise your hand if you're willing to hear about that and really connect with me in this moment while I share with you. So patterns, beliefs, and habits. You know, we get some of that from our DNA, we get some of it from our family system, and then a lot of times we stay stuck running in that. And I came from what you would call a very dysfunctional family system, and there was a lot of codependency, and there was addiction in my family, and there was intimacy avoidance, and these are all therapeutic technical terms, which I use a lot in my teaching, because it's language that we can distinguish behavior, habits, and beliefs that don't serve us. So I grew up with a really deep curiosity of why people do what they do. Why do they hurt each other? Why do they avoid being with me? Why do they leave? You know, there was 6 broken marriages, and there was affairs in my family, and I just always had a lot of pain around connecting with others, but yet this deep, deep longing to really be close to people, and I knew inside that something could be different. So I have studied my whole life relationships, always reading communication books, relationship books, and you know, a lot of times didn't find the missing pieces. And I've had my own painful relationships that have really been beautiful teachers for me. And I've paid, I would say hundreds of thousands of dollars seeking therapy, coaching, doing like kind of what you would call a relational treatment center or training in this way. And my fascination has always been relationship with the body, relationship with others. And so my studies have included anatomy and an endorphin release and then really holistic psychology and psychotherapy. And in doing that, I've had the opportunity to work in addiction clinics. I've had the opportunity to work with family systems that are dealing with addiction. I've had the opportunity to work with end-of-life care for the last 5 years. And my big question has been lately, what is my purpose on the planet? How am I supposed to serve? And I really started looking at all this work, and the thread through all of it was creating intimacy. How do we be intimate with the people we love through addiction? How do we be intimate with the people we love through dying? How do we be intimate while we're still healthy and able to relate and not avoid the intimacy that's available? So that is my passion and my purpose and why I'm on this call with you today.
Cool. Thank you, Heidi.
Yeah.
And I came from a very different, well, not a totally different background, because it was definitely my dad was an alcoholic, and it was tough growing up. And I didn't start out to be an intimacy coach. In fact, my first real job was being a commercial fisherman in Alaska, and I worked my way up to being captain of an 80-foot boat. And I don't know if any of you have watched Deadliest Catch, but that was definitely what I was doing. And that teaches you one set of communication skills, but not another. And then I ended up stumbling on this guy named Marshall Thurber, and I'm giving you a short history. It was interesting. It feels like I've lived several lives. Marshall ended up, he's a guy who taught Robert Kiyosaki, the guy who did Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and Marshall studied with another gentleman named Dr. Deming, and Deming was the one who went to Japan after World War II and taught the Japanese about quality, productivity, and leadership. And so I ended up getting to meet Dr. Deming, and I got to apprentice with Marshall. And how this applies to relationships is one of the things that Deming taught was systems thinking. How do you think as a system? And I went through one divorce, three broken engagements, and I started to look and go, oh, there's a broken system here, the way of doing this. And I started to look at relationships as a system. And I then ended up stumbling on something. And my marriage, we were together for 18 years, and it's like, what went wrong? That was a really painful separation and ending up in a divorce. And I finally started to understand what went wrong when I stumbled on the work of a guy named Marshall Rosenberg. And I flew to Sweden. He was the creator of nonviolent communication. So I've had two Marshalls as my mentors, Marshall Thurber and Marshall Rosenberg. And when I discovered nonviolent communication, it was like the light went on. It transformed the way I look at communication. And I started to teach it. I've taught it in first to friends and family, and I've taught it in prison. I've run a prison program for 8.5 years. I've taught it to university professors at Naropa University in Boulder, Colorado, to their staff. It's been an amazing journey, and mostly what I do is I teach it to couples. And I also studied a lot of other things, neuro-linguistic programming, neuro-associative conditioning, Ericksonian hypnosis. But of all the things that have, like, touched me, it was the nonviolent communication. And that's going to be the foundation for some of the work that we're going to do in the future here, the ignored to adored. And to kind of end my history, or not end it, but the last thing I'm going to say, is I got really good with systems. I got so good at looking at systems. At one point, Tony Robbins, who I had studied with, ended up hiring me to come in and teach his group, a group of franchisees, all about systems thinking. And it was an interesting day for me that Tony Robbins was introducing me to his group. So that was a powerful change. And I think of all the work I'm most proud of, though, the work that Heidi and I are doing together right now is the work that makes the biggest difference in people's lives that I feel amazing about. And I've been through, when my relationships are falling apart, I had read books, CDs, taken workshops. I'd tried almost everything. So there you go, Heidi. That's me.
I want to just say one thing that I've seen different about Paul and I, and one reason I love working with you, Paul, is that so many people teach a lot of knowledge. And I don't know about any of you on the call, but I've gotten a lot of knowledge, and knowledge doesn't mean shit unless you can implement it in your own life. And something that I've seen Paul so committed and what he really stands for, and myself too, is really creating the inspiration, creating the ease in which you can apply this and getting the results, like now, today. There's results that can be had. Things can change today. And when you get results, you get excited and you want to do more. And that's my commitment to you. And I've seen Paul just really stand in that too with other people. So in speaking of that, like the three roadblocks, where we get in relationship, do you want to share about that, Paul?
Well, I want to say one other thing about what you were saying is there's a big difference between dabbling and mastery. And when I went to learn nonviolent communication, at that point, Marshall Rosenberg was living in Sweden, and I flew to he was living in Switzerland, and I flew to Sweden. He did a course in Sweden, and it cost me like $5,500. I spent almost 3 weeks, almost a month traveling and being over there to learn from him. And I had never spent that kind of money on myself or on personal growth before, and it was a stretch. And it's like we start to look at what's important to us and our priorities, and then we get to this place of, and Heidi, I think you're kind of talking a little bit about it, but mastery, when you decide you're going to stop dabbling in something, that you're actually going to take it on and you're going to master it. And this is, there's a lot of things that I'm not good at in my life. Like if you watch me typing, you would go, did you just learn yesterday? because I dabble at typing. Even though I've been typing for over 30 years, my typing is dabbling level. But when it comes to communication, I've worked really hard at mastering it. And so the thing is, today is about a call about learning how to master this art of communication, especially in intimate relationships. So, and you said you were asking me, you wanted me to cover three things, and could you say more on that?
Yeah, and I can share it. I mean, I'm like
okay,
into it right now. I was thinking about the roadblocks that we hit where we have options. And, you know, option one, when you're in relationship, whether it's a friendship or intimate relationship, I really want you guys to hear that. It doesn't matter if you're single or coupled. This stuff is preventative if you're going to get into a relationship, and it's a lifesaver if you're already in one. So the first thing we can do is quit and leave. Like if we don't have the skills to be in the relationship we're in, we quit and leave. And the second thing that can happen is we quit and stay. I did this. I did this for 16 years in my marriage. I quit and stay. I gave up. I was hopeless. I was like, well, I'll just avoid the intimacy. I'm going to go through the day and get up. And it's like, give up on the idea that it'll be better. And I had no hope that it would be better anywhere else. So I chose to quit and stay at that time. Now I've moved into the third stand, which is stand up to the challenge and master your circumstances. Learn the skills that it takes to navigate intimacy. Learn the skills that it takes to be available to somebody else, to talk in a way that they want to listen in the way that they want to talk. And I keep getting up and I keep learning from each painful event. And so I really think that those are the three choices that we have when we hit this tipping point. Is there anything you want to say on that, Paul?
Yeah, thank you for that. And I want to acknowledge everybody that's on the call, because there is a place where it's easy to give up. and it takes an I can almost guarantee if I unmuted the phone and asked you how many of you have had your heart broken at least once or twice, almost everybody on the call would say absolutely and maybe more.
Well, I'm going to unmute them. I want to hear. So just say yes out loud if you've had your heart broken.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Totally.
Thank you for sharing
that.
It's lovely to hear your voices. I'm echoing, so I'm going to put everybody on mute again.
Okay, I've just, we're learning the technology. Oh, it's still echoing.
Oh, no.
That's the one thing I make a change. Let's see if it's working now.
Yeah, you're not echoing.
We're really good at relationships, and we're not so good at technology.
Yeah, but it was worth hearing their voices. I mean, I can just hear the heartbreak through the phone, and I appreciate you being open and honest about that. And it helps me to hear your voices. Like I said, I love to connect. So please deal with us in that way.
Yeah. So what I want to dive into, we're moving into, we want to go from the big picture down to some specific actions you can take. And so part of what I want to say is most relationships don't end because of a lack of love. They end because the people run into problems that are bigger than your skill set. It's like if you were climbing a mountain and all of a sudden you're a 5'1" climber, and that I really don't know that much about climbing. I'm more of a whitewater boater. And you run into a 5'8", so a hill that's steeper than your skills. So you run into relationship problems that are more difficult than your skill level. And what happens is you either quit and leave or you quit and stay, but you no longer have the intimacy and connection that you want. You're silently settling and suffering. And that sucks. It sucks the life out of you, or at least it sucks the life out of me. And so these skills are really exciting to me because it gives you a new place to be, well, I call it powerfully vulnerable. And so I want you to know that you're in the right place. If you still love each other but hate the way you deal with upsets, misunderstandings, disagreements, conflicts, because it's just friggin' heartbreaking. If you want to be able to talk about issues without taking things personally or making them personal, without feeling like it's a battlefield, and you both want to be heard, understood, and valued, you're in the right place. I feel a little bit like Foxworthy. You know you're a redneck if. You know you're in the right place if. And this one is really important, and people rarely do this. This one is a critical skill, which is to be able to use language to enter your lover's world and have them enter yours. This skill is like magical. It's the best kind of mind reading. And very often when I use it with a client, they'll start crying because like they go, wow, I've never felt so heard and understood before. And it's really a simple skill. I've taught this to high school students. I've worked with at-risk youth. And they can get this skill. And that's important because when you're in the middle of an upset or a conflict, at best you're acting like a high school student and more likely like a 5- or 6-year-old.
Well, that's part of our year-long course. We really get into who is showing up in the relationship. Is it that dynamic teenager? That's on another note. I think this magical skill, Paul, for me, the way I describe it, is truly being seen. Like when you enter my world, when I've communicated with other people that have this skill, I truly feel seen.
Yeah. And Heidi, while you're at this, why don't you say a tiny bit about with your daughters, because you're using it with a 13 and a 15-year-old?
13 and a 16-year-old, and this has been such a miracle. And like I told you before, I'm a results-oriented girl. So, like, my kids have never taken this course. I have not, like, actually taught them this, but by practicing it myself. And so I want to speak to that on a note that it's amazing if the people that are in your life or your beloved can do this with you. It's even better. And I want to share that just by me doing this and using it, my kids have caught on and they didn't have to take the classes, although that now they're interested and they're going to. So with my 16-year-old and my 13-year-old, I kind of don't want to share this because we're going to get into one of the five mistakes, which this is about. But there's so much honor and respect. There's permission when we get in the car and we are going to talk to each other. Like, I can really, you know, one thing I can share is that I can hold space with them without trying to fix them. I can hold the space for their pain and really see them. And when I can honor them in that way, they tell me way more than other parents get to hear. So who, you know, who's a parent on this call and who would like their 16-year-old to really come to them with their deep emotions that they're going through? Because I get that.
Yeah. And what happens is if you don't have skills like this, and we're not saying these are the only skills, but if you don't have the ability to be present with them, what happens is you end up getting one word, one way conversation with your kids, and then they go in the other room and hold a 2-hour conversation with their friend. Why? Because their friends, they feel heard, understood, and valued. And that's the idea. And it's transformational when you can do that with your, with everybody in your life. It really transforms almost every relationship. In fact, one of the times when I was teaching in prison and I was working with maximum security men, one of the guys was leaving and he stopped and he backed up and And this kind of chokes me up a little. It's like he backed up and he looked at me. He goes, Paul, if I had learned this stuff in high school, I wouldn't have spent 18 years in prison. And so that's how powerful it is, and that's what we're going to bring to you right now. So today what we're going to do is cover how to go from a downward spiral in your relationship to get back to a state of gratitude versus being taken for granted. And we created this course called From Ignored to Being Adored. And in that method, there is three main skills. Do you want to go through the first one, Heidi, or you want me to dive in?
Yeah, I'll go through it. Thank you, Paul. In this course, one of the first things that we cover, and I believe one of the most important things, is clearing up the past. I mean, how many times do past issues get brought up into a present circumstance? For instance, somebody leaves a towel on the floor, and the reaction is like, oh, my gosh, you never clean up anything. I can't believe you're doing this. I work so hard. And that's really not about the towel on the floor. That's about the resentments that have built up over the last years. And so a huge part of our 60-day course that we've created, and we can't cover all of it today, but we're going to give you some tools to start right now, is no more recycling the same painful issues over and over and over again, but tools in actually how to resolve them, take out the trash, and start, you know, empty, no more stink. It's like that's gone. There's no more past resentments. And how do we start today and do things differently so that we're in love instead of resentful?
The other part of that is when you're clearing up conflicts, and this is really important to know, is most people only deal with one part of the conflict, and there's three parts. And we'll get into detail later about that, but it's important to know, and it's also important to know that how the masculine and the feminine energies deal with conflict differently. And when I say that, I want to be very careful because these work with any relationship, whether a heterosexual couple, a gay couple, a lesbian couple, it doesn't matter. These technologies work the same for all of us because we all have a feminine side and a masculine side. And whatever side we're in, there's times that I'm definitely in my masculine side, ex-commercial fisherman from Alaska, but I also have a very strong feminine side and nurturing side. That's how I can go in and work with the different people that I do. And so clearing up the past, when you get the past cleared up, it allows you to go to phase two. So phase one, clear up the past. And part of clearing up the past is to stop doing damage. Stop creating. There's five main relationship communication mistakes. And once you learn how to deal with those, that is, well, if about 80% of your upsets went away because you weren't doing them over and over again, you weren't accidentally triggering your partner, how different would your relationship be?
Yeah, how valuable would that be? And we're going to give you a couple of them today.
Cool. You want to go for number two?
Sure. Number two that we really dive real deep into is getting present with each other. And this is what I was speaking to earlier, where I felt truly seen for the first time. You'll learn the secrets of talking compassionately and listening fearlessly, where you both really feel heard, understood, and valued. And from that space, you can get your needs met in relationship, and you can help meet the needs of others in the relationship.
And I'm looking out the window in Colorado at a river, and I am a whitewater kayaker. And I bring this up because in kayaking, there's five levels of rivers or water. Level one is like a flat lake. There's no current. You barely need any skills except for floating. Level two, there's a current. So it's a river or a stream or something. And you need to be able to maneuver, but there's not much danger. There's some obstacles. Level three, there's much more obstacles. You definitely need some maneuver skills. And in a kayak, you need to have a roll or be able to do a wet exit. Wet exit's where you get flipped over and you push yourself out of the kayak. Now, that's not fun because now all of a sudden you're swimming in a very cold river and your gear is scattered everywhere. Now, when you get to level four, you have to have what they call a combat roll. And that's where you can roll, do an Eskimo roll, under adverse conditions, you're upside down, getting banged off of rocks, maybe go over a waterfall, all the crazy stuff. Level four, high level of danger. And you need to have your recovery skills in place. And level five is very extreme and dangerous. Now, I've gone on level five rivers. I'm in a constant state of, well, I would say terror.
Terror.
But I have my role, and the thing I work on is my role. And how this ties into relationships is, what level of intimacy do you want? Do you want just level one, where you can't really talk about anything important or emotional? Do you want level two, level three? If you get up to level three and four or five, you need to have skills to be able to recover, to roll back up, because if you get to these higher levels, they're going to be emotional. And you're going to need to be able to go with the flow and to roll back up. There will be conflicts. There will be misunderstandings. But if you've got really good skills, you can just go with it and roll back up and reconnect. And we're going to go through, we're going to show you some role plays today of exactly that. So you want to, number one, clear the past. Number two, connect and get present with each other. And then number three, Heidi, back to you.
Number three is my favorite, creating a bright future. By the way, it's much easier to commit to a bright future, just saying, when you know the habits, patterns, and beliefs of successful relationships. Like when you are 100% secure that you have those level five skills or the level four skills to navigate through a bright future. And one thing that I would love to share on this, and I touched on it earlier, is that I'm results oriented. I want results now. And part of creating a bright future is really knowing what you can do on a day-to-day basis to stay connected, to stay in love. You've heard people say they fall out of love. Who's heard that? You know, just raise your hand in your own space.
Me,
people
me.
Say they fall out of love, and I'm not buying it. we fall out of meeting each other's needs, and then we have an empty love tank. And when we actually do the things on a day-to-day basis that create a bright future, and that's part of, there's seven very specific things that Paul and I teach in our 60-day course that you can do that keep that love tank full, that keep you falling in love, you'd be excited to go into a bright future.
Heidi, thank you. It's interesting. This is the first time I've kind of thought of it that way. It's like saying, what happened? How come I'm, 100 pounds overweight? Well, I fell out of health.
Yeah.
No, you didn't fall out of health. You had habits, patterns, and beliefs that allowed you to do that. So it's interesting to look at. It's what are the habits, patterns, and beliefs? And the problem is habits and beliefs and these patterns are mostly invisible. And until you get to see them and make them visible, it's really hard to change them. So I'm going to – oh, at the end of this, we're not going to – as you get it, like I've spent the last 20-some years studying this information. And Heidi, how many years have you spent studying it?
15, yeah.
Okay. So combined, we've got 35 years of information we're trying to cram into this phone call. Obviously, we're not going to get it all into this call, but at the end of the call – if you want to take it on and do something more with it and really make it, there's a big difference between information and transformation. Transformation is the application in life. So at the end, we're going to tell you how you can do something to transform your life and take this information further.
Yeah, and we'll share with how you can get more of Paul and I to get that learning. So we'll share with you what we have coming up and how you can work with us.
So I'm going to bounce all the way down to beliefs. And once again, with your pen, I'm going to describe something for you, and please draw it out. And I'm going to ask you at the end of this, if there's any questions you have about what I'm about to say, definitely all you've got to do is hit *6, and you'll go and we'll answer your questions. So here's the deal. If you draw three squares, now the way you're drawing them is in a triangle. So there's on the lower left-hand side, there's one square, lower right-hand side, or box, and then there's a box at the top of the pyramid. So at each of the points of the triangle, there's a box. Now in the one in the lower left-hand side, I'm going to have you write in a word here. And now everybody on this phone call is here for one reason. You may think that it's all these different reasons, and if I ask you personally, why are you on this call, you'd all say different reasons. And if you boil it down, though, there's only one reason. You all want a different result. Either you want something to change. So either you want something to stop happening that's happening, or you want something to start happening that's not happening. But all that is you want something to change, you want a new result. So to get a result, what do you have to do? What goes in the lower right-hand box?
You have to take a different action, Paul.
Thank you, Heidi. So if you want a different result, what do you take?
A different action.
So what controls the results you get in your life is either the actions you take or that you don't take. Now, that's pretty simple, and we're going to give you some actions to take, some specific tools to take. But the problem is that's not what's controlling everything.
Can I say something real quick about actions?
Yeah.
Not taking an action is an action. It's a
Absolutely.
Choice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what controls the actions you take or don't take, as Heidi just said, is the box at the top of this triangular pyramid. And what do you think that is? So call it out. I know I can't hear you because you're all muted, but, you know, this is the participation part, and we're going to unmute in a little bit. But what it is your beliefs. So your beliefs control what actions you take or don't take. The actions you take or don't take control your results. Now, what controls your beliefs is your past results. So if you've been in relationships where men were manipulative or women were naggy or, you know, I don't even want to do stereotypes, but you walk away from that relationship with some beliefs like relationships suck. I can never get my needs met. I always, I have to be the nice guy or the nice girl, and I never, my needs don't matter. What happens is you start to, if those are your beliefs, you take actions like that, and what you do is you tend to recreate relationships like that. So, Heidi, anything else on that? Because then I'm going to get into...
Real quick, I wanted to say, you know, I shared earlier where we had the quit and stay or stand up. And when I was in the quit and stay, it's because I believe there was nothing better out there. I would say things like, I want too much, I expect too much, I should just be happy. So if you're saying the word, I should just, let it be a 911 warning, because you should never should on yourself. That kept me stuck in action that gave me really crappy results.
Right. And if you look at it, having that, and a lot of times our environment, if I look at my family of origin, that was my environment, and that's where I got a lot of my beliefs about relationships. And I had to first find out what they were before I could change them. So now, on the same piece of paper anywhere else, you can draw another pyramid, only this is an upside-down one, so that it's wide at the top, and it's very narrow and pointy at the bottom. So it's a triangle. And write two horizontal lines through it. So it ends up being three different containers in there. So there's one like little triangle at the bottom and then two other ones. So at the top, it's very wide. And I'm going to call that your surface beliefs. And then your mid-level beliefs. And then your core beliefs are at the bottom. And there's a few core global beliefs, Tony Robbins calls them. And then surface beliefs. So Heidi and I are going to do a quick model of this, and then we'll give you some other ideas of how to work it. But all right, so I have a belief that Joe's coffee is better than Starbucks, and Heidi, you have a belief that Starbucks is better than Joe's. So why is Starbucks better?
Starbucks is better because you can get it anywhere. Nobody says anything to you when you want to order something really weird and it's five different things. They like expect that. And I notice when we go to Joe's and I order five different things in my one coffee that they kind of look at me snarky, and it really pisses me off. So Starbucks is just, it's way better.
So here's the deal, and we just bring this up as an example. Maybe all of a sudden I change my beliefs from Joe's is better to Starbucks is better. How different is my life? Not much, because it's what kind of a belief? It's a surface belief. So I'm going to dance with being politically incorrect here, and you can watch your reactions to what I'm about to say, but just go with the metaphor. I don't claim to be entirely accurate here, but say that you go from being a Presbyterian to a Catholic or something, you just change religion. Now, is that a surface belief, mid-level belief, or a core belief? And we could have some arguments. There would definitely be people say, oh, that's a core belief, and maybe for them it is. For me, it's sort of a mid-level belief that changing from one religion to another, it doesn't change everything in your life, but it does make some big changes, you know, in different ways of looking at things. Now, I want to get down to what the core belief is. Like, if you make a change, and part of what the course is about is to be able to identify what are your core beliefs so that you can change them, because until you change them, your actions are going to be the same, and you're going to produce the same results. And even if you learn new actions, it's like driving around with one foot on the brake and one foot on the gas. If you take new actions and you want to change your relationship and you start communicating differently, but you still believe that it's never going to work out for you, my needs don't matter, men suck or women suck, whatever it is, then what happens is part of the message is delivered with the words and part of it is your old beliefs. Mm-hmm. So to be able to look at your core beliefs, that, and here I'll give you a core belief. Either it's happening to me, like life is happening to me, I am a victim, my relationships never work, or it's happening for me. If a relationship ends, it's the best thing that could happen to me because I was saved. Now, it's painful in the moment. I've had one divorce, three broken engagements, and I look back and I go, wow, did that happen to me or did that happen for me? Just that simple change in belief right there transforms the way I look at the world. Anything else on that, Heidi?
No, I just want to say that, you know, core is core, and that's part of how we work with you in our deeper program is really getting to the core of your beliefs so that you can believe something is different and do the actions that create that.
So now we're going to dive into, and by the way, did anybody have any questions about that? You hit star six if you have a question about that. Dun, 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 dun. Okay. I guess we covered it well. So let's go into the three areas. Number one, clearing up the past. Number two, connecting and being present. Number three, creating a bright future.
All right.
So handing it to you. That's my subtle.
Okay. I can hear you now. So skill one is clearing up the past. And there are five mistakes that we've identified as being one of the five of the biggest trigger-causing mistakes. You know, when Paul talked about earlier, if you could stop triggering your partner and they could stop triggering you, about 80% of the upsets would be dissolved right there. And we can't share all five with you today and go in that deep. We do share that in our program, but we're going to go into two of them and do some role-playing around that. So, Paul, I would like you to pick which two, and I'll dive into it. I'm making a request. See, this is modeling. You can make a request to someone, and they can deny or accept the request.
All right. And just so everybody on the call knows, we had scheduled an hour and a half, and after this, I want to tell people, in case anybody has to go, how they can get more information. So there's two ways. Well, actually, since I'm already on the subject, I'll tell you how you can get more information right away. If you go to magicrelationship.net/session, you'll hear more about this later, but you can book a session, a 1 hour, well, actually 45-minute complimentary breakthrough session with me, or after the fifth with Heidi. Or you can go to magicrelationship.net/adore, and you'll find out more about the 60-day course. So those are two ways to find out more information, so that if you really want to take this on and figure out how to transform your relationship, we're going to give you the tools to do that. So I'll tell them what the five mistakes are.
Okay.
And then we'll pick, you know, I think we'll just go with the first one, case building and storytelling.
All right.
So, and I want to just reiterate what Heidi already said. How much fun is it to communicate with someone who's triggered, who's emotionally upset? How available are they? How intimate do you want to be with them? Not much. So how powerful would it be to be able to recognize, like, what are the emotional landmines? What are the triggers that are pretty much universal? You know, there's this expression that says, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Well, that's kind of bullshit. It is what you say, and it is how you say it. And when I started looking at systems, I was able to uncover, like, five main core things that cause about 80% of the damage. And you could use them with almost anybody from any country across languages, and they still do the same thing. So I will go through all five of them very quickly, and we'll come back and dive into a couple of them. So number one, case building. You're either building a case against somebody or a connection with them. And so that's mistake number one. Mistake number two is storytelling. And we're, the mind is a meaning-making machine, and either we're making up meanings that serve us or separate us. So you can be storytelling or you can be story-busting. Number three is message assuming. And there's two sides to message assuming. I'm assuming that you're hearing the message I'm giving you in the way that I want you to hear it, or I'm assuming I'm hearing the message from you in the way that you want me to hear it. Number four is cup stuffing, and that's about emotional cup stuffing. And when your cup is full, it's like the expression also out there is the straw that broke the camel's back. When your cup is full, there's no room, and we'll teach you how to empty your cup. And the last one is the fatal F, fix, fight, flee, also known as male-itis. And if you've got a lot of masculine energy, you probably do this all the time with the absolute best intention. And what you do is you push away the people you love the most, and you end up with very little intimacy and very confused. How come they go and talk to everybody else and don't talk to me?
That's one of the ones with my kids that I've seen. And Paul, let me know, I have a strong male-itis on our webinar. But it's true, because I was a master at the fix, fight, or flee. I'm a fixer. And part of it comes from a need that I have to contribute. But my need to contribute is not always received, and I've had to learn boundaries around that, which is part of what I teach, is boundaries of first the person wants your contribution, then you can offer it. You don't just offer contribution without asking. And so with my kids, coming from a space of not fixing, fighting, or fleeing, but coming from a place of, I have some contribution to offer you, would you like it? And then taking their no, if it is a no, has been amazing and healing in our relationship.
Yeah. It's a very powerful thing, because if you try to give them, fix them on top of their pain, it never works. So let's dive in a little bit. Case building. Anything you say can and will be used against you. You know your case building when you start using language like should, have to, must, right, wrong, good, bad, evil. All of these are about what? Building a case against rather than a connection with. And what you're trying to do is get somebody to change. And what I want you to think about, and I'm going to ask you to do this, put your hands together in front of you, and really, please, this is for your own good, not me, but put your hands together in flat like you're praying. Everybody got your hands together? Okay, when I say go, what I want you to do is press really hard with your right hand. Ready, get set, go, press. And now stop. Now look at where your hands are. Now, I can't see you over the phone, but I can almost guarantee you that about 80 to 90% of the people, and when it's in public and when I do this with hundreds of people, it's more than that, your hands are in the exact same place. Why? Because as soon as your right hand started to push, your left hand pushed back. And so what we're working on in learning communication is to learn how to communicate in a way that it doesn't feel like you're forcing somebody else, that you're pushing against them. Because once they feel like you're pushing against them, they're going to do what? They're going to push right back. So case building, you're either building a case where you're pushing against, or you're creating a connection where you're working with them. And you're trying to enter their world rather than make them wrong. Like if you, and you do this with the best of intention, you can be a case builder like you want your lover to quit smoking or stop drinking or stop some other destructive behavior. The problem is the more that they feel pushed, the more that they resist. So,
and I think that's a great example, Paul, because of course most of our case building has the best intention. And if someone is smoking or they're in addiction, the case you're going to build is it's better for your health. You're not, you know, all those things that you worry about with somebody, they're all positive. So I just love that example, because sometimes we think of case building as negative, and it's like, no, it's a positive intention. Even with your kids, like, well, don't drink and drive, and you'd build a case against it. but are you really connecting with them with the information?
Yeah, and I used to be part of the, this is revealing too much about myself. I was a member of the Mad Dogs Exhibition Ski Team, and our motto was hot skiing, warm women, and cold beer. And the local moms would tell their daughters not to hang out with the Mad Dogs Exhibition Ski Team, which is the best marketing we could ever have asked for. Because they all of the girls wanted to know what was so good about us or what was so bad about us. There you go. More than you needed to know. So, Heidi, what I want to do, I'm just going to go over storytelling, and then I actually want to go through a little bit of the phase two, the four steps, and then that will give us enough information that they can really see it in place.
Okay.
So storytelling is where you make up meaning, and do you want to go through this one, Heidi, or you want me to?
Well, storytelling is where you make up meaning to what somebody says, and it may not be what they're trying to say, but it's what you're hearing. So I think examples are best on this one.
All right, so why don't we both give an example?
All right, or do you want to role play one?
Huh?
You want to role play it?
Nope, I'll just do the one that this one is just so clear. I tell it on almost all my calls just because it's such a powerful example.
Yeah.
I was with a former lover. We were in bed, and it was time to turn out the lights. For me, I was going to sleep. So I went to turn out the overhead light, and just before I did, I looked over, and she's upset. And I go, honey, what story are you telling yourself? And once you learn this shorthand, it's not sarcastic. It's not derogatory. I said that with total love, and she got my intention. She didn't take it personally there. She said, I'm telling myself the story that my needs don't matter, that your needs are the only ones that are important because you get to read by the good light, and when you're done reading, you turn off the good light, and I get to read by the crappy light. And I entered her world. Like, for a moment, I just felt what that would feel like, and I went, wow, yeah, no wonder you're upset. Can I tell you my story? Because I had a very different story. And my story is, if I don't turn out the light, and I'm going to sleep, then when you're done reading, you have to get up, go around the bed, go all the way over, turn off the switch, go all the way back around in the dark to your side of the bed, and then that's going to wake you up. So I think, in my head, my story is I'm taking care of her needs. Her story, with the exact same circumstances, I don't care about her needs. So we both chuckled a little about that. Then next night comes up. And remember, Heidi and I have talked about this the whole call. It's our habits, patterns, and beliefs. So my habit was to turn out the light. So next night I'm going to turn out the light. But I get to the switch and I go, wow, okay. And I stop and I look at her and I go, honey, now that I know your story about the light, I'll leave it on. She goes, no, now that I know your story about the light, turn it off. Why? What had changed? Nothing but our stories. And you can see how stories create so much pain and disappointment and damage, and they can wreck a good relationship. Anything you want to add to that, Heidi?
No, I think that explains it really well.
So that is just some of the samples of how do you clear up the past and how do you stop doing damage. Do you see how that, just those five things, if you understand them and start eliminating those mistakes from your relationship, you're going to have a lot less of a past to clean up. You're going to be stop doing damage. And then what happens is when you can stop doing damage, you can start being more present and connected with each other. And when you learn the tools about how to communicate through awkward and uncomfortable things and turn it around in a heartbeat, then what happens is you become much more intimate and connected. So we'll give you an example, and there's a four-step method that, based on the principles of nonviolent communication, which is observation, feeling, needs, and requests. And I just want you to basically have an idea of it and then see it in action this is not going to be an in-depth training of it. What I wanted to do is just have you go, oh, my God, if I could do that, that would just so change the way I interact in relationships. So Heidi and I are going to do a role play, and she kidded about taking the trash out before. So, and just watch what happens. And either one of us can change, and it can change the whole scenario. So one of the five mistakes is message assuming. So I'm going to show you how to clear up messages also. All of this at one little example. So, Heidi, would you be willing to take out the trash?
You know, I really can't believe, Paul, that you're asking me to take out the trash. I've already cooked dinner. You're late. I worked all day, and I picked up the kids from school. Why don't you take out the trash?
Well, how come, like, I worked all day. It's like, how come everything you do is important, everything I do isn't important?
Are you freaking kidding me? I feel so unimportant around here. Nobody ever helps. Like, the kids don't even help, and you don't even see all the stuff that I do for you. I do stuff for you all the time.
Well, you're right. I don't see it. I'd like to see some things that you're doing. So,
wow. Paul.
I'm going to stop there. That's called communication the way it used to be at my house growing up. That was what was role modeled for me by my dad and my mom. And my mom, by the way, I really get along very well with my mom now. My dad's passed away, and I miss him dearly. And my mom is an amazing human being. So, but there was definitely some role modeling of stuff that didn't work. So you can see that I would call that example A, where it basically just spirals down and nobody feels acknowledged and appreciated. And somebody ends up sleeping on the couch. Now we're going to switch it. And here's the thing, is if this communication method only worked if both people knew it, it wouldn't be a very good communication method. And Heidi said earlier, it's really great when both of you want to learn it together. It's very powerful. But this is when only one person knows it. And watch what happens. So Heidi, will you take out the trash?
You know, I'm super tired right now, and I can't believe you're asking me to take out the trash. I've already made dinner, I've worked all day long, and I already picked up the kids.
So just a side note to all our listeners, I'm going to work at entering her world now. And how I'm going to do that is I'm going to try to figure out what is she feeling and what is she needing. So think about this in your head. What is she feeling and what is she needing? So Heidi, I'm wondering if you're feeling a little frustrated right now and disappointed, and maybe you're needing some acknowledgement and appreciation for all the ways you contribute around the house.
Yeah, I need to be acknowledged. I don't even think you notice all the things that I did because you're asking me to do something more.
I'm wondering if you're feeling maybe sad and disappointed about that, maybe a little heartbroken because you're wanting to contribute so much and you work so hard to contribute and you don't feel like it's noticed.
You're right. I don't. I do feel I feel mad about that. I don't know if I feel heartbroken, but I feel mad, and I do need acknowledgement. I need appreciation.
Yeah. I'm wondering, what's one thing you'd love to be appreciated for right now?
For the dinner that I made tonight.
So I really want to acknowledge you and appreciate you because I know you worked hard all day with clients and then really wanted to contribute to me and the kids by creating a healthy dinner. And I want to thank you for that.
You're welcome. I like cooking for you guys.
Wow. Now you see how the outcome, what did it take? It took a couple of sentences. It took me entering her world and not looking at her as the enemy and, like, going head-to-head and trying to say, I've given more. No, I've given more. And, like, this battle, what happened, and I think you can feel it. Even though it was a simple role play on the call, I think you can feel the shift in energy that happened between us and how different it would be. So Anything you want to add to that, Heidi? And I think I'm let's be bold and open it up to anybody who has any questions about anything we've covered right now.
Yeah, so I'm going to unmute them.
Well, actually, let them hit star six.
Okay.
They can unmute themselves. Just hit star six, and we'll call on you. And that way, hopefully, we won't get the wild feedback that we did. And all I want to do, is, if you have a question, if you have a comment, if you'd like to say how different you think your relationship would be if you had these skills, and or what you got out of just watching this little interaction. And it can be about the dishes, the soap, the laundry, who makes the bed, who spends the money, who decides who's going to make the money, where do we move.
And some of
you
may be sitting there thinking, well, that's nice on that issue. They can work that out. But I have something that can't be worked through this. And so I even encourage you, if you're thinking that, to bring it to us and let us role play it out for you. Just press star six on your keypad.
Yeah, test the pros here. Dun, dun, dun. All right, so we don't have anybody courageous during lunch hour. They didn't have enough latte.
I'm just wondering if star six isn't working.
Well, you could go ahead and open it up to everybody. Just hit unmute or somewhere. Okay. We have somebody that's – who'd like to say something? There's a couple of people unmuted.
It's not – I'm not getting them unmuted.
We're going through technological challenges. So, all right, any thoughts, comments, questions? Anybody? Just everybody yell out hello if you're still there.
Hello.
There we go. See, there's their voices. So,
hello.
Hello. Okay, good.
So any thoughts, comments, questions? You're all on.
Hi, this is Eileen. I just wanted to acknowledge that this has been really good. Right now I'm not in a relationship, but I can certainly relate to your role play, and a lot of what you have shared makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And I'm just, let's see, this is my warning. The caveat of learning these skills is the pool of people you'll want to be in a relationship with gets a little smaller.
Yes,
you're about to get spoiled, because once you actually realize what it's like to communicate with someone who's got these skills, and when you have these skills, it's like, wow, I don't want to go back to anything else. So thank you. Anybody else? And then we're going to go to the last part of this. All right, so Heidi, and I've got an echo again.
I know, I'm trying to work that out, Paul, as we're here, but I'm having a hard time.
Okay, so go ahead in the third skill.
The third skill, are we talking about observations, feelings, needs?
No, we're going into creating a bright future.
Okay.
So
thank
you. The three main skills here are to go from feeling ignored to being adored. Number one is to be able to clear up the past. And by the way, it's not only the past in this relationship, it's all your past. If you come into a relationship with tons of baggage and past, it's going to make it hard to be intimate in this relationship. So it's really good to know how to do this. The second skill that we talked about is how to connect and be present with each other. And part of that is like the role play that Heidi and I did, is we were able to I entered her world. She could have just as easily done it and entered my world. So it's like if one of us is sane and uses the tools, it will transform the communication. Mm-hmm. And so number three is about what are the habits, patterns, and beliefs that it takes to create and grow a bright future. What do you do on a daily basis? Because creating a bright future is not just about having this big goal that we're going to go, our future is about, we're going to retire. Look at how many disappointed people, you know, they worked their ass off their whole life, and then they were going to get to retirement, and then everything was going to be good. And what a bright future is part of it is, like, what are we doing day to day and learning the seven main keys, seven main habits, patterns, and beliefs that we do on a day-to-day basis that create a state of constant gratitude and appreciation for our lovers and for ourselves. And one other key point before I hand it to you, Heidi, is that on the concept of ignored to adored, it's not just about our lover ignoring us. It's sometimes in a relationship, what we do is we end up giving up on ourselves. We ignore our own feelings and needs because we're trying to make it the relationship work. And so we end up, at some levels, betraying ourselves. When I work with individuals and I do the sessions, one of the first questions I ask is this relationship worth saving? And if so, why? How are you getting your feelings and needs met? So anything you want to add on that one, Heidi?
Yeah, I was just saying in a lot of people that I've worked with, and I primarily work with individuals, I usually refer the couples to Paul, and I like to work with the individuals in the couple. A lot of people don't even know what their needs are because they either, one, have not got them met for so long they're afraid to ask, so they kind of deny that they have any, or two, they're just so concerned with pleasing the other or running life or just doing the day-to-day stuff that you deny that you even have needs. So part of what I really love to help people dive into, and we do this in our longer program, is what are your needs and how do you communicate to get them met? But really discovering them. Some of us don't even know what we need.
Yeah. And I'm going to tie this in. I don't know why it is that I like triangles, but I'm going to have you draw one more triangle, and this will tie into getting clear on what your needs are and what your partner's are. And there's three levels. So you draw two horizontal lines through your little triangle there. And the bottom level is there's three types of relationships. And with each type of relationship, there's different kinds of needs that get met by that relationship. The bottom relationship, or the bottom on this pyramid or triangle, is survival. And in that type of relationship, survival of the relationship is a priority. That's most important. That's where couples say, we don't even like each other anymore, but I'll be damned if I'm giving that asshole a divorce. And that sometimes survival is what Heidi said earlier, that's about a quit and stay relationship. They've given up on their relationship, but they don't think it could be anywhere else, so the only thing they're going for is survival. And I've had my days when survival felt like all I could handle. The next level up is about comfort, and that's a different type of relationship. And a lot of times in a comfort relationship, and it's important to know these distinctions, because if you're in a relationship where the people are interested in comfort, that's like, let's watch TV together. We're more like roommates than lovers. There's not a lot of passion. People who are interested in comfort usually don't show up on these types of calls and usually aren't in getting coaching from Heidi or I. Normally, our clients are in the third group, the group that's at the top of the pyramid here, which are interested in growth, whether it's spiritual, emotional, mental, intimacy growth. It's like they're interested and committed to how to make things better. How do we make the relationship better? And here's a belief that I have, is that the best is yet to come. See, now that kind of belief is very different than, oh, the three relationships ago, that was the best I was ever going to get. Now, see, that's going to take the best is yet to come. So what we want to do is when you get in a relationship, or even when you're kind of looking at getting in a relationship, you can kind of get an idea of what is a priority for your partner. My marriage, we were together for 18 years. She was into comfort. I was into growth. Now, and there's nothing wrong with those two. I'm not making one right, one wrong, one better. It just creates a lot of problems. It's like showing up on the football field in a baseball outfit. You're going to get your ass kicked. You know, it just doesn't work. And I look at a lot of relationships, and this is really one of the important foundational pieces, is to look, are we both interested in growth, or am I going to be growing by myself here, or are you growing by yourself? So anything you want to say about that, Heidi, before we kind of go into the last phase?
Yeah, I'm looking at the time too, just being a boundary keeper, that we honor our time. And I want to say about that, like Paul mentioned, usually our clients are the ones in growth, and you may vacillate between comfort and growth or survival and growth, or you may be in question about it. But what I would like you to step in today is in that, you know, results or beliefs, actions, results. Choosing non-action is keeping you in the same results that you've had forever. So I want you just to pause for one moment right now and look at, are the results you're getting the results you want? Because taking non-action, that's what you're going to keep getting.
Yeah, and there's an expression that I have, is there's a big difference between want to and want to. Like if somebody wants to get healthy, like physically fit, they're looking at their diet, they're working out, they're consciously doing stuffing, they're taking action. If somebody says, I want to get fit, where will you see them? You will see them at the gym this morning before I got on this call. I jogged, and then I had a fruit smoothie, and then I like I want to stay in shape. Now, there's another group, and it's called the want to. And when you look at a want to be in shape, they're sitting on the couch watching TV, eating donuts, having cake, and drinking beer and going, I would love to have a body like that. I would want to be in shape.
They're looking at Shape Magazine going, I want that.
Yeah, I want to. And the interesting thing is there's nothing wrong with either of them, but if you want to transform your relationship, if you really want to make it work, you're going to show up at what would be called the relationship gym. You're reading books about relationships. You're taking workshops. I've traveled around the world to study with different people about relationships. And
the cool thing is you don't have to do all those things that he just mentioned, because we've spent 35 years doing it. So I just want to say that we have a lot of that information to help you work out and get there faster.
Yeah. So that's why we created this, from being ignored to feeling adored. And that's a 60-day transformational program. And basically it's like getting a relationship toolbox, a set of communication tools that allow you to enter your lover's world in a way that they feel heard, understood, and valued. And it will allow you to open up your world so that you feel heard, understood, and valued and loved. So
in that program, we won't go into total detail, but I want to give you a quick rundown. So if you're like, I'm not going to continue getting the same results, I am done, I'm taking action today, I'm making the decision to step up into this growth, then I would encourage you to jump in to our 60-day program, and Paul will give you the link where you can go straight away and get there. Paul and I spend 3 days live with you in that program. We have one in the Bay Area and one in Colorado coming up really soon, and it's 3 days live with Paul and I, where we apply these things to your specific issues. You get to really have like hot seat coaching, spot on, what do I do differently? And you learn the 5 mistakes to avoid doing damage. You learn the 4, observation and some of the stuff we went through, the 4 steps to really enter somebody's world. And we teach you the 7 healthy habits so that you can take different action and get extremely wonderful results. And so that's a 3-day live weekend, and then it's a 60-day program where you get ongoing support through teleclass. So no matter where you live in the world, we're there to support you, and we continue that program for 60 days. And like I said, we won't go into all the details of it, but Paul, will you give them the link if they're like so ready to jump in this and make their lives different, their relationships different?
Yeah, the link is magicrelationship.net, that's singular, magicrelationship.net/adore. And if you want, this course is not for everybody, right? I'm clear about that. It's people who are actually committed, because it's not a cheap course. It's not a super expensive course. But if you get a hold of Heidi or I in the next 24 hours and go, you know what, I'm in, this is for me, we'll show you how to get a $500 discount coupon for that. The other thing I just want to get to people before they have to go is over the next couple of days, I set aside room for about 7 sessions, and these are one-on-one sessions. They're complimentary. They're no charge. It's 45 minutes. It's called Relationship Breakthrough Coaching, and you get to experience it. You get to test these tools against what is your biggest relationship issue. And in the end of the 45 minutes, no matter what you do, you're going to walk away with some incredibly transformed way of looking at your relationship. And to get one of those sessions, and you want to do it soon because I'm about to be traveling. I looked at my schedule. I'm going to be teaching in California, New Mexico, Las Vegas, back out in California, I think, again. So it's like for the next month, I'm hardly going to be around. So the next couple of days, I set aside a bunch of time for anybody who's really curious about experiencing it. My commitment is at the end of 45 minutes, it's a transformational experience. You walk away with a whole different way of looking at your relationship. And that is at magicrelationship.net/session. magicrelationship.net/session. And if you want a session, a 45-minute session with Heidi, that's also possible, but she's booked out until after the 5th of May. So you'll have to send her an email and figure that out. So you can get one with either one of us, because we're both committed to your growth, and we want to make sure that you're, you know, there's a self-interest in this. Both of us love working with clients, but we only work with clients that are actually committed to having a breakthrough. We don't just take everybody. So part of that 45 minutes is you're checking us out, and we're checking you out. And we want to know, is this somebody who'd be fun to work with?
Yeah, we have a stealth mission. Oh, yeah, I was going to say we have a stealth mission to create more intimacy on the planet. Like, I have seen this with my kids, and other people see me with my kids and go, wow, I wish my teenager did that with me. And so it's not just about, you know, it's about all relationships. It's about all relationships, your business relationships, your friendships, your intimate relationships. And intimacy and lasting love and connection is really our commitment and inspiring you to do it. So in my opinion, I would just jump right in if you're ready to really have the fulfillment. I just want to tell one quick story because it just keeps coming up, and I just want to share it, that for the last 5 years, I've been working with families to be able to communicate and hold space while their loved ones die, so doing hospice work. And so part of what I teach is, how do you hold boundaries when you're a caregiver? How do you communicate? How do you keep that intimacy going through that process? But in that, I have gotten to interview all these people that are dying, young and old. They're dying for different reasons. Every single one of them said their biggest regret was not spending more time with the people they love, was not cultivating their relationships. So I'm just really feeling strong about this. Don't be one of those people that's on your dying bed saying, I wish I would have been closer to the people I loved. Take action now and do something different today.
And what are the prices, just so that people have an idea of what the cost is? Because there's the 3 days that we're working with them, and then they get 60 days of support ongoing, and that 60 days of support includes four main conference calls where they can interact, ask questions, role play. There's going to be a Facebook page. There's going to be some bonuses, like they'll get an ebook that I wrote called "The Stop in the Name of Love," the MP3s.
Yeah, if you go to that magicrelationship.net/adore, it has all the details of what's in the program. And the price for singles is $14.97. The price, if you're coming as a couple, we like to give a discount because we honor environment is stronger than willpower. We love for the environment to be supported. So for couples, it's $19.97. And like Paul said, for the next 24 hours, he's willing to offer, and I'm willing to offer too, a $500 discount. So if you want to know how to get that discount, you can phone me directly, Heidi Hahn Scott, at 415-887-9746. You can also find me on Facebook, Heidi Hahn Scott. And Paul, do you want me to give your cell number as well?
Sure.
Okay, let me find it.
303-807.
Oh, 303.
I can just give it, Heidi.
Okay, I didn't hear the 303, though.
303-807-0159. And definitely take advantage of a session no matter what, because this is a rare time when I have enough time right now before all the travel and all the work begins. And thank you for your time and energy today. We really greatly appreciate it. So, Heidi, I'm going to turn the